Free agency hasn't even technically started yet. And Brian Gutekunst is already putting in that work. And with that, I'd like to welcome you to a special free agency edition of Lemps Talk and Pack. I'm your host, Chris Lempsis, coming to you once again from my basement Packer room in my home in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, here to break down the moves the Green Bay Packers made Monday on day one of the 2020 NFL free agency period. Okay, so day one isn't really until Wednesday. Monday simply marked the beginning of the legal tampering period for free agency. But you all know the deal by now. Free agency, for all intents and purposes, begins when that legal tampering period opens. Okay, so in real reality, the real, real, full reality, it's been going on for weeks. But, I mean, you all know what I mean here. You know what I'm trying to say. Anyways, as mentioned in the opening, Gutekunst, the Packers' general manager, signed two free agents on Monday. He began the day by signing former Cleveland Browns inside linebacker Christian Kirksey to a two-year $16 million deal before inking former Detroit Lions right tackle Ricky Wagner to a two-year $11 million contract. Both players have been recently released by their previous team, so neither will count towards Green Bay's compensatory pick formula next offseason. Wanted to mention that right off the top because obviously the Packers didn't get any comp picks this year because of the massive spending spree Gutekunst went on the official first day of free agency last year, the first morning of free agency, really signing the Smiths and Adrian Amos and Billy Turner. Packers didn't get any this year. So far, these two signings won't affect the Packers next year for that. This special episode, man, this is going to be chock full of good shit, folks. I got to be honest, I didn't think I'd be back this quick. I literally just did the final part of the State of the Pack series yesterday. I thought maybe I'd be back tomorrow night, Tuesday night, Wednesday night, that first official day of free agency. Didn't think I'd be back this quick, but here I am. Again, going to be chock full of good shit here. I'm going to break down the Kirksey and Wagner contracts, talk about the pros and cons of each signing, look at some other players and areas of need I think Green Bay could still target in free agency, and I'm even going to make fun of the other NFC North teams as they gave me plenty of ammo to do so today. What would a free agency Lemps Talk and Pack episode be if I wasn't making fun of the other NFC North teams, right? Don't worry. That's coming. Stick around. Before I get into the fun, I got to do the shameless self-promotion, which I know you all love or at least tolerate. The social media, Twitter, LempsMKE, at It's Just Chris Now. Facebook, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts. Again, I'm going to be putting stuff up there. I have a feeling if this national quarantine thing goes into effect, which I think it might, due to the coronavirus, I'm going to have plenty of time on my hands. So definitely going to be putting some stuff up on the Facebook page soon, I swear. The email, Old Bag of Donuts, OL Bag of Donuts at gmail.com. Haven't gotten any emails from a while. Any emails in a while I'd like to hear. I'd like to get some from you guys and gals. Come on. Come on. Send me an email. And for everybody listening on the wonderful Packers Talk iTunes page, leave a rating. 5 stars. Love those. 4 stars. Those are cool. Anything else, forget it. Maybe a comment. Chris, this quarantine sucks balls, but your show is helping me get through. I'd like that. Or just you like the show. It doesn't have to be coronavirus related. Just you like the show. Anything. Let me know. Again, if it's negative, though, I'm too fragile. Forget it. All right. So now that that's out of the way, let's talk about these two signings, shall we? I'm going to begin with Kirksey, who the Packers actually had in for a visit last week. I actually mentioned him on the pod yesterday. I said, they had him in for a visit. He's got a lot of other visits lined up. I didn't think the Kirksey thing would be decided for a while. I thought he'd go to, look, it sounded like I think he had 3 or 4 more other teams he was going to visit. I thought he'd do that and then make up his mind. I thought he'd have a decision maybe later in the week or the weekend or even early next week. Didn't think he'd decide this quick. But he must have liked Green Bay, or at least liked the contract they offered him, right? So I'm going to give you the full contract numbers now. I actually do have these. These are courtesy of, hang on, let me get it queued up here. This is dead air. I'm sure this is fascinating. This is from Aaron Wilson, at Aaron Wilson _NFL. Covers the Texans for the Houston Chronicle. Tweeted today, Christian Kirksey, 2 years, $13 million, $4 million guaranteed. salaries, $1.75 million in 2020, $3 million in 2021, $1.5 million 2021 roster bonus, $1 million per game roster bonuses 2020, $1.25 million in roster bonuses 2021, $250,000 workout bonus, $1.5 million incentive annual, $1.75 million Pro Bowl incentive 2021, $250,000 Pro Bowl escalator 2021. Hope you got all that. You will be quizzed on it at the end of the show. Holy shit. That was a lot. You know, I knew it was going to be a long tweet, and I started reading it. And I was like, man, there are a lot of numbers here. Hope you guys could follow that. He'll count against the cap, by the way. This is, I have that as well. This is from Ken Ingles, Packers cap, at Ken Ingles on Twitter. That's with two L's. He, with the contract breakdown provided by Aaron Wilson, NFL, for both linebacker Christian Kirksey and offensive tackle Ricky, well, I'll get to Wagner in a minute. He has Kirksey counting as $4.125 million against the 2020 cap. So now that I got all those goddamn numbers out of the way, let's talk about the pros and cons. So the pros, Kirksey, who turns 28 in August, played under defensive coordinator Mike, how did I manage to keep my job petting in Cleveland? So should I botch that nickname? That was a nickname I just came up as I was writing it. Mike, how did I manage to keep my job petting? That's his nickname for now. Anyways, he played under him, so he should be able to pick up the scheme within about 2 seconds, I would think. As far as athleticism and aggression and just being an attacking downhill type inside linebacker, Kirksey appears to be a major upgrade over Blake Martinez, right? That was one of our knocks on Martinez. He's smart. He knew where to be, but he wasn't athletic enough to get there, and he seemed too pensive. You know what I mean? Not really willing to throw himself in there. A little passive, I think you could say about Blake Martinez. I think that's fair. So Kirksey's a major upgrade there. He plays hard, plays with an edge, plays with an intensity that you crave from that position. You love that from an inside linebacker. Again, never really got that from Martinez, I didn't feel like. He plays mean, is what I'm trying to say. Blake Martinez was never really a mean SOB. I get that sense that Kirksey's that kind of guy, which is great. I love that about him. Brings a little something as a pass rusher blitzer, too, which, you know, in fairness, I thought Martinez has ability there. I just think for whatever reason, Pettine didn't use it as much last season. But Kirksey has it, and that's a good thing. This guy is, by all accounts, great in the locker room, great as far as being a team leader. You can never have too many guys like that. That, I thought, was so huge for the Packers last year, particularly the team last year, right? That team was greater than the sum of its parts. And I think in large part because of its internal leadership, right? The leadership that guys like, you know, Rodgers, Mercedes Lewis on the offensive side of the ball, Bulaga, guys on the defensive side of the ball, like the Smiths, particularly Za'Darius Smith, you know? I thought that was big. Kirksey will only add to that, which is great. He tossed in his smarts. Look, he's an Iowa guy. They're always smart. You can never have too many Iowa guys, I don't think. And that, you're asking, Chris, does that hurt you as a Minnesota alum? Because obviously you're bitter rivals with Iowa. A little bit. But you got to respect what Iowa does as far as creating pros. A friend of mine, an old friend of mine said this once, former friend of mine now, unfortunately, said this once about the Iowa guys, and I always think it's so true. He goes, the Iowa guys, there's no bullshit. They're just their football players, you know? They're not in it for the money or the cars or the girls or the fame or whatever. They just like playing ball. That's a real testament to what Kirk Ferentz does. That's just kind of my side street crediting the Iowa guys. Which, again, breaks my heart a little bit, but you got to give it up. You got to give them their props. Anyways, when you add all this up, it's easy to see why he put up the numbers he did in 2016 and 2017 in Cleveland. Look at some of these numbers. 2016, 148 total tackles, 2.5 sacks, 11 tackles for loss, 7 quarterback hits, 3 passes defended. 2017, 138 total tackles, 6 tackles for loss, 6 QB hits, 3.5 sacks, 2 forced fumbles, 1 fumble recovery, 5 passes defended. I mean, you can see why he put up those numbers. Of course, that leads us to the cons, doesn't it? The major con being, he hasn't put up big numbers since 2016 and 2017. Why? Because of injuries, of course. He had a hamstring injury that cost him the back half of the 2018 season, and he missed almost all of last year with a chest injury suffered in September. All in all, he's missed 23 of the last 32 games over the past two seasons due to injury. Yikes. It's not great. He also tends to not be great in coverage. I know people are going to show highlights on Twitter of him making plays in coverage. Certainly he has made plays in coverage. But he's not great in that area. So it's not like the Packers upgraded from Martinez in that department, I wouldn't say. Basically, when you add it all up, this was a low-cost, low-risk signing that potentially brings huge upside along with it. Kirksey, if healthy, will be a big, big-time upgrade in terms of playing the run over Martinez. He won't be, or at least I highly doubt he will be, an upgrade in pass coverage, but still. Look at it this way. Now, I've said this a million times, including on the last episode of the show. Probably getting tired of hearing me say it. It's probably the last time I say it. I've said you can have a championship-level defense with Blake Martinez as your number two guy. He just can't be your number one guy. Kirksey, again, if healthy. God, I think I'm going to be saying that a lot. Should just change his name to Christian Kirksey if he's healthy. He's an even better number two guy than Martinez. And he comes at less than half the price. At least if Martinez gets the kind of contract I think he will from another team really soon here. So that's a positive. Wait a minute. Do we have some breaking news here on this Monday night? At 11:30? Oh, we do! The Giants have agreed to terms with the aforementioned Blake Martinez. See if there's any terms. Giants get him for 3 years and $30 million. Oh, there you go. There's some numbers. So Blake gets $10 million a year on average. So there you go. They got Kirksey for... I got to scroll back up here. So many numbers. Oh, free agency. So many. They got him for $8 million per. That's with all of the incentives and bonuses, which he may or may not hit. Again, his first year cap number is $4 million. Giants, Blake Martinez, $10 million per. So that goes to what I'm talking about, right? If he's healthy, he'll be a better number two guy than Blake Martinez would have been. And again, much cheaper. You got to like that. Now, Green Bay still, it's a positive, but the Packers still need to get that top guy. Right? Kirksey is a nice start, but that's all he is a start. Will they target Corey Littleton? They definitely could. Maybe they should. The Raiders were mentioned as a team that would be hot on Littleton's tail, but they went and broke my goddamn heart by signing Nick Kwiatkowski to a three-year, $21 million deal Monday with $13.5 million in guarantees. So that dream is officially dead now. Breaks my heart. He won't be a Packer. A shame, too. He would have been a nice compliment. He would have been a perfect Green Bay Packer, and he would have been a really nice compliment to Kirksey, I think. And I didn't think that price was bad either. Actually, $7 million per. I would have totally done that if I was a Packers. Now, I will say I imagine they were in on him, but maybe he just liked Vegas more than Wisconsin. I have no idea. Why would you like Vegas more than Wisconsin? Crazy. Could it be Joe Schobert? Mentioned him on the podcast yesterday. Again, possible. Schobert, now I'll say that Kwiatkowski is gone. He looks a little more attractive to me, especially because of his skill set, right? He's a good cover linebacker. Not great against the run, but he's pretty good in coverage. So he and Kirksey would complement each other really well, I think. Now, obviously, Littleton would too, because Littleton's even better in coverage than Schobert, better against the run. But Schobert, if they can't get Littleton, would be a cheaper option. And again, I think he would complement Kirksey. Of course, last episode I mentioned the top two inside linebackers in the draft, Patrick Queen from LSU and Kenneth Murray from OU. Still love those two. Haven't changed. That hasn't changed in a day. Now, to me, it is imperative that the Packers get one of those four players, I think. I just don't think... They can't simply think, I hope they're not thinking, well, you know, we got Kirksey and that's good enough, and we can get a guy maybe in round three or four, and that'll be... It's not enough. God, I hope that's not what they're thinking. They need to get one of these guys, Littleton or Schobert or Queen or Murray. They have to. And if they do, one of those four paired up with Schobert, because again, Murray and Queen, I think, are both do-it-all kind of guys. One of those four with Kirksey, you may have a kick-ass inside linebacking core for the first time in really forever. Something, again, people like myself have been screaming about for years, because I think it's important. You saw in the NFC Championship game, it's important. Moving on now to the other big signing of the day, the two-year deal handed out to Ricky Wagner. In-state boy Wagner is. Now, I knew he played his college ball at UW-Madison. I did not know until today he's from West Allis. West Allica. I'm surprised. If you're from Milwaukee or the Milwaukee area, you know about West Allis. I mean, it's got a little bit of a rough and tumble area. A little bit. Some wild shit goes down in Stalica, as I call it, or West Allica. They make t-shirts, West Allica. It's a little bit, it's that kind of vibe. I'm surprised more offensive linemen aren't from there. Or more football players in general are from there. It's kind of a tough place. Anyways, I have the specifics on his contract now. Again, please pay attention. You will be quizzed on these at the end of the show. These, again, are from Aaron Wilson. Hang on, got to cue these up. I should have some like intermission music. Here we go. $11 million total over 2 years base pay with $2.25 million base salaries each year plus $1 million third day 2021 league year roster bonus, $250,000 workout bonus annual up to $750,000 total annual workout bonus plus $2.75 million playtime base escalator in 2021, $500,000 incentive in 2020. Again, going back to Ken Ingles, the Packers cap Twitter expert, he has Wagner's 2020 cap hit at $4.825 million. All right, hope you got all that written down. You can pause it and go back and get a pen and write it down, because the quiz is coming. All right, so the first thing to look at here, what kind of player is Green Bay getting in Ricky Wagner? Well, it's sort of similar to the case with Kirksey, right? Wagner has had good to really good seasons in the past, but his most recent work is lacking. With Kirksey, that's due to injuries. With Wagner, unfortunately, it just sort of seems like his play dipped. The numbers on Ricky Wagner last year, they are not great. This is from Pro Football Focus. He's coming up, in 2019, in just 467 pass blocking attempts, he allowed 3 sacks, 4 hits, and 32 total pressures. Brian Bulaga, by comparison, 4 sacks, 4 hits, 27 pressures in 612 pass blocking opportunities. So, you know, when you look at it that way, I mean, Wagner did not have a great season. Some more numbers here. This is from Peter Bukowski at Peter_Bukowski on Twitter. Writes for a number of websites. I'm not going to list them all because Peter's not paying me. Got to find it here. He had some stuff on Wagner. Let me just go to it here. Dun, dun, dun. Ricky Wagner by offensive tackle grade among qualifying players, 20% snaps. 2016, he was 23rd out of 86. 2017, 18th out of 92. Gotta like that. 2018, 32nd out of 85. Still pretty good. Last year, again, bombed out. 67th out of 88. Now, he did have some injury stuff last year. He had concussion and knee issues last year. How much that affected his play, who knows. But, you know, you have to be concerned. I mean, I won't lie. It's a bit of a concern that the Detroit freaking Lions release this dude. It's not like the Lions have been known for great offensive lines. So, I mean, if this guy was the bomb, or at the very least Detroit believed he could bounce back after last year, you'd think they'd want to hang on to him. They didn't. Also, not a young cat. Turns 31 in October. So he's only a little younger than Brian Bulaga, Iowa, who turns 31 later this month. So Wagner, that's kind of my long-winded way. I tend to be long-winded if you listen to the show, which I would imagine at this point is an endearing quality if you're still listening, for your old pal Lemps. He's clearly not a long-term answer at the position. He's essentially going to be a placeholder for whoever the Packers draft in April to be that right tackle of the future. Now, at first I was like, well, if they're going to do that, why didn't they just bring back Jared Veld here to fill that same role? I mean, I imagine he'd come cheaper than Wagner. I'll be honest, part of me still thinks that, but the more I think about it, I get it. Wagner's a little younger than Veld here. He's healthier. He did have some injury issues last year. But he's healthier overall. He's probably a little better. Certainly has more upside, or as much upside as you can have for a guy over 30 anyway. The one thing I think, so I don't love the signing, but the one thing Wagner does is he allows Green Bay to have options at that position. By that I mean they don't necessarily have to take a right tackle in round one now because he's there. Right? Even if they had brought Veld here back instead, that would still be something they might have to do. Now, depending on what happens at inside linebacker, I'm still hoping against Hope Queen or Murray, unless they sign Littleton or Schobert. If they don't, then I'm really going to be hoping it's Queen or Murray in round one. But if both of them are gone, because the Packers signed Wagner, they do not have to go for right tackle. They can wait. I still think they have to do it by the end of day two, but this move again gives them that flexibility. It also gives them the flexibility on what type of right tackle they want to take. By that I mean they could take a developmental guy who maybe won't be ready for a year if they want, because I think Wagner could hold out. Maybe if they really want to gamble, they could take a guy who won't be ready for a year or two. But I do think, again, this move gives them some flexibility for the draft, which is important. Obviously, the move is the sad part. Also means the end of, again, Brian Bulaga, Iowa's time in Green Bay. I want to say a little something about Brian Bulaga. Brian Bulaga, Iowa. I'm going to miss him. You know, that big Uncle Fester looking MF-er, man, that guy played his guts out for the Packers. Right? First round pick in 2010. Got thrust into action as a starter that first season. Held it down as the team won the Super Bowl. Had a number of great years after that. The dude is injured almost everything you can injure on the human body. I've said before, he took over Chad Clifton's mantle of the being held together by duct tape and chicken wire. No matter what, Bulaga just kept going out there and battling. He played his balls off for this organization. Nothing but great things to say about Brian Bulaga, Iowa. Wherever he ends up, I hope he gets a huge contract, and I hope he plays really well. Happy trails, Brian Bulaga. I wish you nothing but the best. Thank you. So the big question now that I've talked about these two signings, well, there's a couple, but let's start with this one. Are the Packers better now than they were? Right now, the answer is no, right? I think Kirksey is, comparing Kirksey to Martinez is tough. If they're both healthy, I think Kirksey's a better player. But the injury issues are a concern. And one thing you can say about Blake Martinez, he played. You know, he was always available. Last 3 years, 16 games, 16 starts. Every year. You know, they say in the NFL, one of the best abilities is availability. Martinez has given him that. Now, I think Kirksey's a better player, again, but the injury concerns, I don't know if they necessarily... I mean, right now I'm going to say something and say, yeah, they got better. But, you know, it's hard to say there. I hope you know what I'm getting at. I hope you know what I'm trying to say. Going from Bulaga to Wagner, no, that's a downgrade. So... overall, even if you're saying Kirksey's a little better than Martinez, factoring in the injuries, Wagner's, I'd say, quite a step down from Bulaga. I would say overall the Packers aren't as good. But here's the positive. Don't worry. Coming in with the positive. They've saved money. Bulaga's probably, if to bring Bulaga back would have probably cost you anywhere from $9 to $11 million on average. As I mentioned, Martinez is getting $10 million per now. from the Giants. So instead of, you know, $22 million on average, they're paying these two guys eight. A little over eight combined for next year. So the Packers are going to have money to spend because of those moves where they went a little cheap. If they use that money, I suspect they will. If they use that money and use it correctly, then yes, they ultimately will come out of this as a better team than they were before free agency started. But they have to spend it, and they have to spend it wisely because they don't have a ton left. Where could they go? As much as I still love Robbie Anderson, and I would still love him in green and gold, that seems unlikely as of right now. My best guess is they're going to go defensive line. You know, Linval Joseph, recently released by the Vikings. I would love him playing next to Kenny Clark. That would be awesome. Mentioned Snacks Harrison, recently released by the Detroit Lions. Poe, is it Dontari Poe? Recently released by the Carolina Panthers. Michael Pierce, free agent from the Baltimore Ravens. Love Michael Pierce. A lot of options. I think that's where the Packers have to go. Here's why. Now, by getting Kirksey, that was a good step at inside linebacker, but they still have more work to do there. Wagner, good move at right tackle. Decent move, at least. They're still going to have to add a guy. They have to get somebody in free agency that crosses that need off the draft list, right? I think defensive line is the quickest way to do that. You sign one of these big stud D linemen in free agency, no longer really have to worry about that near the top of the draft. I think that's important at this point. The Packers need to start crossing areas of need off. D line's the quickest way to do it. I think that's where they should go. Some other moves I could see him making, I'd still, you know, I mentioned it before, I think on the, it was episode 2 of the State of the Pack series. I'd love to see him add a 1A number 2 tight end. Tyler Eifert, Delanie Walker. Now, I know both of those guys have had a ton of injury issues. Walker the last couple years, Eifert really throughout his career. Although Eifert was healthy mostly last year. I'd love to see him sign someone like that. Someone who will just, you know, they're not going to get in Jace's way. They understand their role is to just kind of help make plays while Jace, you know, continues his growth process. Would love that. Cornerback Desmond Trufant was released by the Atlanta Falcons on Monday. Depending on his price, I think he might be a nice depth guy at cornerback if they decide to move on from Tremont Williams. No news on that front so far. But the Packers, you know, they still have work to do. And it looks like they've got about $17 million of cap space left. Obviously, they can't spend all of that on free agents. They're going to need money for their draft picks, their exclusive rights free agents, guys like Tyler Irvin, and obviously the Kenny Clark extension, which is sure to be huge. So that $17 million, I don't know how much they'll have to spend, but not that much. That's what I'm talking about. They need to identify guys and spend wisely. Some teams that didn't spend so wisely, some of the other teams in the NFC North. Told you I was going to make fun of the other North teams at the end of the show. It's time for that now. Oh, the Minnesota Vikings. I guess they just love that Kirk Cousins experience. How could you not? Right? They extended Kirk Cousins for 2 years and $66 million on Monday. Cousins only had 1 year left on his contract, so now he'll be in Minnesota 3 more years. I mean, why wouldn't you? My God, why wouldn't you love the Kirk Cousins experience? I love it. That was a head-scratcher to me. I could see maybe extending him for 1 year, but two? I don't get that. One thing the Vikings did do now, they traded Stephon Diggs to the Buffalo Bills. I do have the particulars on that. If you haven't heard, I got to backtrack here a little bit. Hang on. Oh, here we go. This is from Adam Schefter, Wiz Ace ESPN reporter. Bills are trading a first-round pick, a fifth-round pick, a sixth-round pick, and a 2021 fourth-round pick to the Vikings for wide receiver Stephon Diggs and a 2020 seventh-round pick. Now, I got to say, I like that trip. First, I like getting Diggs out of the division because, man, that dude has stomped some Packer ass throughout his career. He has made a lot of big plays against us, it feels like. I'm saying us because it's 11:48 and I'm tired. But... I'll say, you know what? I actually like that move for Minnesota. The thing is, with Zimmer as their head coach, Zimmer doesn't really want to throw the ball. He wants to be a ground and pound team. You know, run the ball, play action passing, which is the one thing Cousins has been fairly good at throughout his career. It never really made sense to me for them to have Diggs and Adam Thielen if you want to be a run-based team. It always made sense that they would get rid of one of them. I didn't know if they actually would, but they did, and they got a lot back. Kind of a, you know, I don't know if Minnesota's rebuilding, but it feels like they're definitely retooling. Releasing Xavier Rhodes, releasing Linval Joseph, as I mentioned, trading Diggs. So, you know what, I'll say I actually think it's a good move for Minnesota. Certainly got more than Houston got for trading DeAndre Hopkins, which is, I can't imagine there'll be a move more of a head-scratcher than that. Still puzzled by that one. Now I end the show. I'm going to destroy the Chicago Bears. No, I don't know if I want to destroy them. I think I want to laugh at them. They gave Jimmy Graham 2 years, $16 million and $9 million guaranteed. What on earth did they see from Jimmy Graham that made them think he was worth that? Are you kidding me? Bears down, man. Bears down. Game over, man. Why would you do that? Like, I don't want to, look, I don't want to shit all over Jimmy Graham. You know, I said on Twitter earlier tonight, the guy, unless he was asked to block, he played hard for the Packers. He played through injuries, gave everything he had. He just didn't have that much. He's finished. He's cooked. He's washed up. I can't believe any team gave him 2 years, let alone $16 million, let alone $9 million guaranteed. The Packers didn't even really do, I mean, even if you're not thrilled or, you know, you have some reservations about the moves Green Bay made today, look at what the rest of the division did. I mean, again, I thought the Vikings, the Diggs trade was smart, but overall, has anybody made a real move on Green Bay? No, I don't think. The Bears, did someone say the Bears have like 7 tight ends on their roster? Is that true? I meant to look that up. They have a lot. I know they're paying Trey Burton like $8 million a year. Now they're paying Graham $8 million a year. There's just a reason why some teams are always bad or mediocre. Stuff like this. All right, so I'm just now in the 32-minute mark. Nearing the 33-minute mark. I think it's probably time for me to jam on out of here. Hope you guys and gals have enjoyed listening to the show. Again, I do want to say, overall, again, I'd say I like these moves for Green Bay, depending on what they do in the rest of free agency. So it's kind of the jury's out. They're not terrible moves alone, but if the Packers don't do well in the rest of free agency, these moves could look bad. If they do well, these moves will look better. Hope that makes sense. I will be back. I don't know. I might be back tomorrow night. Shit, the Packers might do more. I don't know what I don't know what's going to happen with these free agency moves. It's going nuts. But whenever they make another big move or a couple of big moves, I will be back to wrap those up. So until next time, thank you all so much for listening. I've had a blast. I hope you have too. This has been Lemps Talking Pack. I am Chris Lempesis. I love you all, Packer Nation. Stay safe out there in this crazy world. Wash your hands. Wash your butt. Until next time, go Pack, go.